You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 7. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work, your wonderful movement throughout history. So God, help us as we consider that which took place yesterday, that we today would have the benefit and the advantage as we understand and proceed forward. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Be with the classes to help the children, help the sick, our God. And we'll thank you for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. You would remember in chapter 7, you have the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was the most joyous, celebrated feast of Israel. All of the feast of Israel were to instruct and encourage Israel in the light of a wonderful God who saves them, who loved them, and who took care of them. And the Feast of Tabernacles had to do with his deliverance from Egypt to the wilderness. God cared for them in the wilderness. God went and cared for them in the land and provided and gave them great harvest if they would trust him. And their harvest was always in abundance. And they always had water in it. Water was very critical and important. Now, remember now, the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front. He's sitting in the temple. And in the temple, they're all there, the good guys, the bad guys, those that want to kill him, those that are challenging him, those that question him, those that want to know him, those that might know him, like the disciples, the apostles. And they're all there. And they need to know, which they don't. The Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of them fulfills the whole purpose of the feast. The person of Christ in front of them is the fulfillment, wonderfully, of all those feasts, including the Feast of Tabernacles. You want to know what it's all about? Why, he's standing right in front of you. So now, having that little bit to remind us. And here he is there, and the feast is on the eighth day. It is the day they're about to celebrate, and they're going to go from their booths, tent that they lived in for the 7 days, and they're going to go from that back out to their own homes, to their own food, to their own routine. That's what they're going to do. Now, to what measure the celebration of this wonderful occasion would hang in there and be valuable in their memory is unknown. But more than likely, being humans, we celebrate all kinds of things and then promptly forget them. Promptly, it's all over. Whether it's a sports event, whether it's a birthday, anniversary, you know, you celebrate it whatever way you want, and then it's all over with. It's all over. And thus, in the process, here they are, and about to end, and the right moment in all the water and all the carrying of the water and all of that they did. The Lord Jesus Christ, verse 37, we share together, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up, and he cried aloud, he cried very loudly. You're usually sitting teaching. He He's standing up. He changes his posture and stands up in the middle of them all there, probably many sitting and all of that. And he stands up in the middle of them and he shouts out loud and clear a statement. And we shared it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If anyone is thirsty. Now remember now, this is to the Jewish people that are there. And they're there and they have, the Old Testament has not a drop of understanding of the church. And they didn't. So whatever he's going to say to them has to be relevant to them, as you'll see. And since it's all in the present tense, it has to be relevant to them right now. So as they're sitting there, whatever he's saying, they can take it right now and go home with it if they want to. So now, having said that a little bit, if any man thirst, and remember there's no that, in John 13 through 17, he's going to prepare them in the upper room for the day of Pentecost. So he's only 6 months away, approximately, from his crucifixion. He's down the card. He just has to go from here to the end, and he's crucified. So he knows that. And this is his last feast, his last time with them in this way. So now, and if any, they may or may not, it's a personal thing, the plural is all out, it's all singular. Is there any one of you in this big crowd, is there any one of you that is thirsty? Is there anyone thirsty? Not how many are thirsty, is there anyone thirsty? And we share together that thirst, the present tense, they need to be thirsty. Now, they had water. The Feast of Tabernacles involves water and plenty of water for the ground and soil and all of that. And God's providing water in the wilderness, in the land of death, 40 years in the wilderness. God provided water. So they have that, and they're going to go back to their normal well and the source of water. But, God, what were you after? Why are you saying, if any man thirst? I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at your soul, the person. Not your stomach and not your throat. I'm looking at you. Is any one of you truly, truly thirsty in your heart? In your heart. A difference. Because you can get a glass of water and quench your thirst. But drinking a glass of water won't satisfy your heart at all. So now, having said that, so here they are. And if any man thirst, let him come, be coming to me, underline, coming to me. He's standing right in front of them. If anyone wants to step out and come to me, is anyone thirsty? Come to me. And they could have. But we have no record of anyone coming. No one came. And thus, in the light of that, if anyone come unto me, and remember this word, come unto me, you want to keep that in mind with Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, underline. Here it is in front of you. Verse 37, come unto me, come unto me. And when you come unto me, when you're coming unto me, I want you to drink. The invitation is there and then, and they were able to come and take what God was offering, whatever it was. They would come, here's the crowd, and here he is standing there, and they could come and stand up. They could have come and went right to him. Now, if they're thirsty, they're going to come, and they're looking. You say, where's the water? Where's your glass? Do you have, using carefully, he didn't have a pitcher in his hand and said, all you that come to me, I'll give you to drink. He didn't have this. If he had this, oh boy, and I'd come with my little cup and get water. But, he had nothing. So when he tells him to come and drink to him, then it has to be something special. That's correct. Come unto me and drink. And remember that to be drinking, and it's in the, again in the present tense, drinking. And as they come, they have a need, an earthly need. They had that. But they need to have a soul conscious that their soul, their heart was dead and dry. They needed to be saved. And so as they're coming, here's the crowd there and all this, those celebrating and the in the presence of the Lord and those that want to kill him, and they're all there. Now, they're coming to him. If they come, and they can, and if they come, they can drink. They can drink just as much as they can come. Thirsting, coming, drinking. That's what they can do. Now, in order to get it, so you see it, over in chapter 4, going back in time, in John's being the penman for God, John chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 7. And what we're looking at is the word drink. I'm interested. Come unto me and drink. Now, here's John, and God is unfolding things, so you want to know the meaning of a word? Go to the first place it's used. I'll go back there. Go to the first place it's used, because it's used. And so now, here in John chapter 4, here's the woman at the well, and she says, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, she has nothing to give him to drink. There's your little verb, to drink. Give it something to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh me drink of me? How can I give you a drink? Which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, changes now, thou wouldest have asked him, and he, in turn, would have given thee living water. So, I'm trying to stir you up, give me to drink, well, I don't have anything, and who are you to get a, need me? And God said, I'm trying to help you get awakened. I'm able to do something for you that this well and this water can never do. And I want to awaken your heart to drink. Come unto me and drink. So here he is doing it. He actually did it. So we're going to get the flavor of it. And in the process, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. There's your thirst. Verse 14, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. You that are thirsty, come and drink. You'll never thirst. You have eternal life. Wow. Verse 14, whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, in the person, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And there you're going to have that again. So here's the word, and she drank. And you don't want to say she didn't. She did. And in, well, chapter 4 and verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And I know there's the Messiah will do this. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. So how could you get clearer? You want to know who I am? I'm the Messiah. That's what you wanted to know. All right, she's excited. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And verse 39 for time, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I did. So God, chapter 7, and in verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So they're going to drink. That's right. So, God, we got to clear, it isn't us giving God anything. It isn't us handing out anything. You can't hand anyone the water of life. You can hand them regular water, but you can't hand them the water of life. You don't have it, and you never do. God alone can give the water of life. Hang on to that. So now, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And so God, Christ, God the Holy Spirit is going to make all of that happen in a most wonderful way. Now, one other place that will help us on drinking and coming, over in chapter 6, you would recall the woman is going to get water from the Lord. And she believed, she thirsted, she believed, she came, and she drank. And she was satisfied. John chapter 6, our Lord now takes it, and you remember we did this, and he's trying to help him understand his wonderful need to go to the cross and die, and that they needed to drink. They needed to have a relationship to him because of he was going to take his perfect body to Calvary's cross and die in a perfect way to pay for the sin of the world. He was going to do that. And they needed to believe. They needed to receive like we did in Sunday school. They needed to receive the Lord as their Savior. They needed to understand he died. He took them and died the death that they needed to die. He brought and rose again to give them a life they needed to live. Now, so here, again, without any question, chapter 6, verse 53. I'll even read verse 52. Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and, there's your verb, drink his blood, without that you have no life in you. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. The relationship, you need to know me as your Savior, to need to believe. When you believe, you will have a satisfaction and you will drink. You will take all that I bring to you. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Now, he that eateth my flesh, verse 56, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. So, as you're going down the corridor, looking at the one statement after another, what were you telling them? A person needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they need to do. And if they believe on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would have eternal life. That's what they needed to do. And what are you saying in the temple to those people? Come unto me, ye that thirst, and drink. And what are we going to do? Why can we do that? Why could the woman at the well do it? Because she believed that he was the Christ, the Messiah, and the Christ, the Messiah, John 6, has to go to the cross and die. And you're going to believe in the one who is your Savior, who died on the cross for your sin. You're going to receive him as your Savior, and boom. You're going to have the wonderful relationship of eternal life, satisfying all of the thirst of your heart. Now, having said that, and God is going to make all of that happen in a most wonderful way. In chapter 7 again, in chapter 7, picking up, please. And now remember the crowd doesn't believe. The people that want to kill him don't believe. The disciples, apostles, they don't understand. Do they understand? We're looking at it. John's writing in 95, looking back over it, and God is filling in the pieces for us. And we're looking at it. And what are you saying? Well, did they understand? No, they didn't. John, you're writing it? Yes. But did I understand it when he said it? I did not. John chapter 12, just to do that again. John chapter 12, if I can, in verse 16, remember, among others. John 12 and 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now, and you got, they just didn't understand. Understandably, they didn't understand. But he said it. Why did he say it? Hang on, we'll pick that up. Why did he say it? So now, in verse 38, continuing, you got a thirst. If any one of you, singular, any person, man or woman, boy or girl, is thirsting in their heart and comes to me, I'm going to go and drink and receive what I'm going to give them, and they drink, they're going to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to me. And you see, drink, and then you're going to keep writing, even though there's a change that you want to keep moving in thought, and drink. If any man come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me, he that believeth, the drinking person is a believing person. Believing. Person is believing, present tense. The person that is believing, the person that is drinking is believing. Believing. Wonderfully believing. And so now, what are they believing? Well, they're believing on me, you say it twice, on me. That's what they're doing. They're resting their case, they're resting their heart. They're putting all their support, their trust upon me. And so the person coming is thirsting is coming to him. The person drinking is believing on him. And now what are you going to say? Well, as the scripture has said. Now, as looking at the scripture, you want looking at it, it's a way you would say, you could quote a verse specifically. God so loved the world, John 3:16. Or I could freely say, God tells you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The scriptures tell you to be a believer. That's correct. What are you doing, Lord? I'm giving a free statement of the content of the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you about the scriptures that you have. You have them. You have the Old Testament. We do. And we're here celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle based on that Old Testament. So now, having said that, and now, what do they know about this? Thirsting? Remember that talking to them right then and there. And if any man, according to the Scripture, what is the Scripture saying? Well, it must say something about them coming, drinking, and being satisfied. There must be something that says that and deals with that, because that's what they know. Hang on, over if you would. We'll do it quickly. Over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus 17, what would the Israelite know if they had anything going for them? Remember when they went to the wilderness, and the Feast of Tabernacles is about the wilderness, water in the wilderness, and booths. They lived in booths, and God took care of them. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Behold, I will stand. Remember, they want water. Behold, I will stand before thee. There upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all Israel, and water came out. Now, here's the rock, and what did they do? What was Moses to do? He hit the rock. When he hit the rock, out it came. Water and water and water for over 2.5 million people. Just floods of water just flowed and flowed. Wow. Plenty of water for everybody. Now, what are you saying? Well, do you understand? The reason it's going to come is because Christ is going to die on the cross once. He's going to be struck with a penalty of death one time. And when he's struck, he will rise again, and he will provide for you. He will make possible all of the wonderful promises that he ever made are now made real and right because of his death on the cross. You can go and cash your check that you had way back here. You believed, you took a check and said, the check is a good check. I can cash the check. And God makes the check cashable. Thus, they did that. Now, you remember, without turning there, if you would, in Numbers, remember. And in Numbers, what did they do? You remember Moses went, and Moses was told to speak to the rock. Don't hit it again. We already did it once. The lesson's made. Christ only dies once he dies. The rock, you need water again. Don't hit the rock. Speak to it. What did Moses do in his frustration? He hit the rock twice. And therefore, he didn't go into the land. God couldn't let him go. He gave the wrong message to the Jews. Now, having said that, the rock. Over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, may I pick up. Remember now, these are Jews sitting in the Feast of Tabernacle, and God has just told them he didn't have any water in his hand. They were to come to him, come and drink. And you'd have to think, well, where are we going to get water out of you? Just like the woman at the well. But she found out how to get water by believing. That's what she did. And her heart was blessed. Aha. Now, Israel, chapter 32, Deuteronomy, picking up directly in the light of the movement, verse 4. What are you going to say? He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. He's the rock. That's right. And it's going to say it again and again. He's the rock. What are you doing? The rock was with you, and that's why you won the battle. When the rock isn't with you, you lose the battle. He's the rock. That's right. Now, hang on to that. And go with me in the light of that. Oh, over to, very quickly, Isaiah chapter 12 again. Isaiah chapter 12. Remember, I'm looking now. I'm a Jew, and I'm looking at him. I want to know. Chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12, picking up the wonderful millennial reign of Christ when he's reigning on earth 1,000 years. And here in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Lord Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water from where? Out of the wells, plural, of salvation. You're going to draw from God's saving grace. You're going to draw and draw and draw, and you're going to have an endless supply. which grants you, to say it another way, you have eternal life. You never need to drink again. That way. Now, and at all kinds of places, but chapter 44, verse 23, 2 and 3 better, 44, chapter 2, chapter 44, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, that formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jehuran, that means the upright one, Israel, whom I have chosen. Why? Why not? Why not be afraid? Why not care? For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And God, you're going to do that. I am. Isaiah 55, come unto... Well, we'll do it very quickly. Just to turn the pages. Isaiah 55. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come and buy, eat. Come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. Come, thirsty ones, come to me. Verse 50, chapter 58 again. Chapter 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul, S-O-U-L, not your tummy, soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered, saturated garden. It can't hold any more. It's flooded. And like a spring of water whose waters never stop. Fail not. They never end. That's right. Wow. And he could do it, Jeremiah. He wants to water the soul, Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and while we're still in the Old Testament, Psalm 114. And may I go to verse 7. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing or a pool of water, and the flint, hard stone, into a fountain or spring of waters. God, what did you do? I took a rock and turned it into water. I took the wonderful person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and made it a wonderful source of supply to save you, to give you eternal life, a wonderful, wonderful life. And you'll drink and drink and never be dry, never a drought, never going to happen, not going to happen. Say it now another way, and you know that... Well, to drive it home even a little more. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Verse 1. As the hart, the little deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, my soul, S-O-U-L, my soul, verse 2. My soul thirsteth. How do you satisfy the soul? You can satisfy the stomach with water, H2O, but you can't do it in the soul. God has to do it. My soul thirsteth, verse 2, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Now, it's again, John 7, 37, 38. The scripture has said, we could keep reading, would you say that Jesus Christ was right when he said, Come unto me, all ye that thirst. How could you miss it? How could you possibly miss it? You can't. And to cinch it even further, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And may I pick up, please, 1 Corinthians 10. And you will note, please, in verse 4. I'm going to even, chapter 10, verse 2. And we're all baptized, identified, placed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, the thing that Moses made possible by way of God's grace, the opening of the Red Sea. How many people enjoyed crossing the Red Sea? All of them. They were all baptized, identified with what Moses made possible. Now, verse 3. And all did eat the same spiritual meat, manna, from heaven, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, they did. How so? For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. What was that rock? That rock was Christ. You have to guess. That's what it did. So if I'm reading Scripture, the Old Testament, and I was a Jew, boy, if something's going to click in my little head, as the Scripture says. And you might think of one verse, you think of another verse, you think of another verse. But all the verses are right. Now, over if you would, please. John chapter 7. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, out of his belly. Now you all have bellies, you do. Now you may not like the word belly, but it is a legit term. Understand? It's a medical term, a belly. A belly as opposed to your toe or your head. All right. So out of his inward, the word belly, Old Testament, new, is hollow. Hollow. Cavity. And the content of the cavity. So it speaks of the mind, the heart, the soul, the womb, the cavity. The inside of the person. That which is cherished. That which is able to be cherished, to be received. So here we are looking at the inwards. And in the process, in this, out of the belly flows living waters. And the hollow, the thing. Now, you say, well, why would Christ, if it's a believer, out of his inwards comes living water? If it's a believer, that's one. Out of his belly, out of the believer comes water. But where does it say that? So if it isn't the believer, then it must refer to the one who is all about the context, which is Christ. So if it's Christ, how can it come out of his belly? Out of his belly comes living water. Out of his inward. Now, in order to get the value of this, hold your finger here if you like, though you don't have to, it isn't far away. Over to the Gospel of John. And chapter 1. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. And you will notice, I'm going to go directly there so you can see it. We're looking at belly. And I'm trying to get a handle on it from God's heavens point of view. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom, there's your word, bosom. It was the same root word, hollow, H-O-O-L-O-W, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him, or explained him, or made him known. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, comes out of God the Father, so that you can understand God the Father. How? By God the Son. How do we understand the Father? By the Son who comes out of him. And thus the word, bosom, belly, has to do with that which is precious, your inwards. You know, your outward things, your female, there's so many things on the outside. They aren't so valuable. But the parts in here, in your heart, liver, lungs, boy, those are valuable parts. Very valuable. They're precious. That's right. It has to do with the hollow, things that are precious to a person. So what are you saying, God? Well, out of the God, how did you make yourself known? I did so by my Son. My Son. He makes known the Father. The Lord Jesus will say, you know me. To know me is to know the Father. The Father sent me. Doesn't he say that? A million times, it seems. He says it over and over again. You see me in order to see the Father. I explain the Father. So the word bosom, bosom, what are you saying? Out of the bosom. It means that which is very precious, intimate. God, what did you do? I shared myself, the dearest and the nearest to me, my Son. My Son. Now, Lord, what are you going to do? Back over to John 7. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And very quickly, tie it together. Do you understand? The Lord Jesus said, I am out from my Father. John 14, 7. If you've seen me, you what? You've seen the Father. And I want you to know, John 17, 18. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Now, how can that be? Well, the Spirit of God comes out of me. God the Father, God the Son. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You cannot have any enjoyment of the person and work of Christ apart from God the Holy Spirit. When you give the gospel, you have to understand the Spirit of God is absolutely necessary. You take him out and none of it works. He makes it work. And without him, it doesn't. So the Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit of God. Verse 39. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And until he died on the cross, and he'll say it, John 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He'll say it again. I have to glorify the Father. And until I'm crucified, I can't finish the work that God gave me to do. I need to finish the work that God gave me to do so that when I finish the work and ascended, I and my Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, God the Son and God the Father will send God the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, they'll send him. It's absolutely that he come. And thus, verse 39, do you understand? None of it can happen if he doesn't come. It won't happen. Won't happen. Now, having said that, and remember the life that God speaks of and looks to over in John chapter 6 again, just to show you, as you read, living waters. Just, I didn't go so fast. I missed a lot, but I hope you got a little bit in all of it. It has to do with Christ. It doesn't have to do. Now remember, just in the light of that, God's keeping. What is Acts 16:31? Paul, what are you going to tell the jailer? Are you going to be able to say, watch, Mr. Jailer, if you come to me, Paul said, I'll give you some water. Who else wants some? Anyone else want some water? Is that what it's saying? Does it ever say that? No. But, here's the jailer. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determine not to know anything among you, save, except who? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You, Mr. Jailer, need to know Him. You need to know Him. I can't do it. God did it for me. God can do it for anyone that thirsts, that will come, that will drink, that will believe. Anyone. Now, hang on to that. And John 6, quickly, without in the light of it. And in chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall what? Never thirst. Never. And you keep reading, life, living. Same word. Same thing. So without doing any big exegesis or trying to get, all I got to do, I want to put together the pieces so I don't come out like so often it is said on this verse. And I'm going to miss it because I'm going to think I'm going to go out and produce something for people. And that has never happened and won't happen because it can't. You can't give God to somebody. Only God can give Himself. Everything that God gives requires God. You can't do it without God. You can't do it without God, the Holy Spirit. You just can't do it. It won't work. So now, and, you know, the Lord Jesus will say in John 11, to Mary, Martha, I am the resurrection and the what? And the life. There's your word. I am the living one. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the one. Do you understand? Why are they to come in the temple? Because He's the one. Did anyone come? No. But He said, it will happen. It will happen all the way through history. I have offered it to Adam and Eve, to Cain and Abel, to Noah and his sons, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anyone that would come, anyone, I offered them the wonderful thing that I, anyone that would believe, anyone that would honor me, I would do that. Now, and so now, back over to John chapter 7. And this He said concerning, verse 39, this He said concerning the Spirit of God, that if they believe, be believing on Him and receiving, you have to receive the Lord Jesus. Remember John 1:12, as many as what? As many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Many, there it is. So now, if I can, reminding you, a different way. Over if you would, please. Over if you would. In this great celebration, they missed. But God, God, you're all the way down. You keep saying it. Did the people of the wilderness understand the water coming out of the rock? I don't remember them. I don't remember reading, God, that you recorded. They were thankful for 40 years for food and water. I don't remember them saying thank you. They just took it, assumed it was theirs, assumed they had a right to it, right or wrong, and they didn't thank him. So now, God, here we are. So God, you're doing it in the feast. You're going to be crucified. I am. I am. And you're offering it to them because that's what the feast is all about, of tabernacles. It's about coming and getting fed and thirsty and all of that. Now, so in the process, over in your, if you would, in your Bible, oh, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Revelation. Revelation. I was trying to find Revelation. I started with Matthew, and I knew if I went long enough, I'd end up with Revelation. Revelation. And in chapter 22. Now, keep in mind, if you would, and in, remember the beginning of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7, all that. To each church, to the churches, each time it will say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says, is saying to the churches. That's, we're one of them. Okay, we're one. Here we are. We're listening. And we're listening. And that's the church. The church, what are the churches saying? The churches are supposed to have, a like the woman at the well, only as a very special way, as part of the body of Christ. They have a unique relationship to God, believers do. And they're to be telling. The churches are to be looking to the Spirit of God to outwork the life, John 16, 13, 14. To out glorify, Christ is going to be glorified by the Spirit. And so you need the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify God, the Father. You can't do without Him. And so having that wonderful, wonderful relationship that you didn't earn, work for, or deserve, God just gave it to us in His wonderful grace because we couldn't do without it. So now, God, here's all the history. And what are you saying? The church says to pay attention to the Spirit of God. You're to be a testimony, little lights, golden lampstands, golden candlesticks in the middle of the world, wherever you are, shining forth in the darkness. For what? For people to come to whom? Not come to the building and not come to the pulpit. Come to Christ. Because Christ is supposed to be found in the church, which is His body. So when they come, they're going to find Christ. And Christ can answer what we can. We don't have it to give. All we do is honor Him. And when people do and believe, then they are honored. They are blessed in a most wonderful way. So now, the God, all the way through history, that's what you did, and you're doing it in the millennium. Wonderful. Now, all through history, tribulation, all the way, God, did you ever stop being merciful to whosoever that would believe? Never. Never. Those who won't take the mark of the beast, I'm with them. Now, in the millennium, after the millennium, in the forever, God, this business of thirsty, you provide it. Wow. Thus, 22:16, as you know, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, what's that little word? Come. What's our message? Come. Come. What did you say? All you that are thirsty, come, drink, believe. Come. What are we saying? What are we supposed to be saying? Because we're still doing it. We should be. And the Spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, that's us, person, anyone that got, do you understand? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a gift. That's our message. What were you saying to them in the temple? I offer them the gift of eternal life. All they had to do is come to me. But you know they didn't do it. They're going to crucify me. But you know what? I didn't change my message or what I would do to any whosoever that would come. Anyone that's thirsty, if you come unto me and drink, you'll be satisfied. I am that I am, like Sunday school. I am that I am, whatever you need. You just come. For your soul, S-O-U-L, for your soul. Wow. I hope you got a little, it was fast and not complete. But I tried to help you with it. It's a tricky verse. It's one of the complicated verses. And we tried to make it uncomplicated. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you, thanking you for your word, your work, your saving grace. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Thank you. So, thank you for the snow, for the weather, for all of it. For the timing, God, for what you do, when you do, how you do. God, we don't want to call the weather. We want to look to you to outwork the weather, which is at your command. So God, do those things and say those things that are pleasing in your sight, that honor you and most encourage and stimulate the whosoever's that would believe. God, for every boy, girl, man, or woman, God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you very, very much. Help us. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. And we'll thank you. Give safety, carefulness, walking, driving. And God, for the hours that lie ahead, thou knowest all the way to Thursday and forever. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing a stanza. 266, if you would.